Hey, let's pray. You don't have to stand up. I'll pray. Let's pray. Father, I commit today to you. And Father, thank you. It's already been an awesome service that your presence is here. And Father, by this prayer that continues, I really do pray that, I really ask that everyone just has a touch from you today, regardless of our background and where we've come from, and despite what we think we know about you and all the things that have happened in the past, that it's today. That today, Father, there's some touch that comes from you that touches everybody. And Father, at this time, we also remember our pastors, Nigel and Andrea, Father. We just thank you for them. They're on holiday, but Father, I pray there's just a refreshing time for them, Father, that they'll come back just revitalized, Father. And I'm ready to pump the vision they have for this church, Father. Amen. Cool. Hey, New Year's resolutions. Because it's New Year, and I thought, you know, New Year's resolutions. Who's made some? Who made resolutions? New Year's. You motivated group of people. There must be resolutions. Few people have made resolutions. Who's broken them? Put aside. Who's already broken their resolutions? Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. I was thinking about resolutions and thought they're always kind of hard to keep, except for ones like that. I went on the interwebs and I did a search. And I thought, what's the most common broken New Year's resolutions? And went to several sites and it actually pretty much agreed on the list. There's this top 10 list that people consistently break, which I think someone's written a blog post and all the others have just copied it. But here they are. I'll just read them out. Number one, lose weight and get fit. Yep. Quit smoking. Learn something new. Number four, eat healthier and diet. Five is get out of debt and/slash save money. Six, spend more time with your family. Seven, travel to new places. Number eight is be less stressed, which probably all of us are aiming for that one. Number nine is just volunteer to help people out in some way. And number 10 is to drink less, which is probably a result of Christmas itself. Everyone comes out going, I'm going to drink and eat less. So they're the most commonly broken New Year's resolutions, which suggests to me they're also the most common resolutions people make as well. So then I thought, well, there's a point to all this. I thought, what are some ways we can help to keep our resolutions? If we make some, what's a good way to keep them? So, you know, did a little search, and there's heaps of different lists, and most of the sites are saying, hey, pay us $5 and we'll help you out and all that. Yeah, we'll double your money. So I've got a list of six here. It just says this. Make changes to your behaviour, which makes sense. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results, can you? So if you want something to change in the world, you've got to change your behaviour, the way you do things. Number two, define SMART goals. So SMART's an acronym, for those that know. It stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-specific. So you set SMART goals. Number three, track your progress. Number four, reward small achievements. Give yourself little rewards along the way. Number five, make it public. In other words, tell someone else about it because it keeps you accountable. Yeah, that makes you nervous, doesn't it? I'm not going to tell you mine. And number six is you're human. Just realize you're human and that you may fail at some point. That's okay. You can get up and you can keep going. And also read this, two interesting facts about this. Men are more likely to succeed at resolutions when they engage in goal setting, i.e. setting small, measurable goals. And apparently increased it from about 10% to about 25% of men will keep their goals if they set keep their resolutions if they set small goals. Women are more likely to succeed when they make their resolutions public and get support from friends. So for women, it's a social thing. So you tell your friends and they'll keep you accountable. I have no idea if that helps or not. Anyway, so why am I talking about resolutions? It's because I want to add one to your list for this year. And I'll get to that in a minute. And I'll tell you how I got to this. I was thinking about God, and in the Bible, he's got all these names, all these different names in the Bible. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of ones that are in the Bible. I've got a list of some of them here. I'll just read them out. They'll come on the screen. El Shaddai means Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, forgive my pronunciation on all these. The Most High God. Adonai means the Master. Yahweh is just Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi is the Lord my banner. Jehovah Ra, Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, Lord that heals. This goes on. Blah, blah, blah. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Mekodishkim. Love that one. It's just massive. It means the Lord who sanctifies you. there's a few more there. Kanna, Q-A-N-N-A. Apparently that's also a name for God. It means jealous. He's a jealous God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And a few others. And so God has all these names in the Bible. And really they're describing aspects about God, aren't they? They're describing parts of his personality. They're names, but they're describing who he is. We used to have that in our society too. You know, it used to be John the Baker, and maybe 200 years ago, those are how people were known. You know, Peter the Great, Ivan the Terrible. but people were known by their occupations or something, some aspect about them. And but I think God has a lot of other names, doesn't he? I mean, if I asked you to give me just something, a one word that describes God, what would you give me? Go on, Charlie, throw one at me. Sorry? Joy. Any others? Peace? Friend? Yep. Love? Provider? Yep. These are all good. Actually, I've got a few of them here. So there's all these other words for God that we do. And someone said to me, if I ask you that question, generally the first word that comes to your mind reflects your first encounter with God. So for me, friend is actually the one I think of, because my first encounter with God was actually as a friend. It's just, and that's kind of the basis of my relationship with God. I understand these other aspects and I've learned about them over time, but for me, it was a friend first. For other people, it'll be different things. You've had an encounter with God in some way. So where am I up to? Yeah, so there's all these different names, and I've just put a few up there, but there'll be heaps of them. There'll just be a massive list of all these names of God describing his personality. And God is in all of these things, and I think more. Thinking about this, God is infinite. We say that, but it's a really hard concept, thinking about infinite without end. And I thought, gee, we're going to spend eternity with God, but if he's infinite, that means I will never stop learning something about him. There is always something more I can learn. We kind of think in 20 years, you know, I've learned about God. But no, 20 years, 40 years, 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years. Continually learning about God, there will always be something new to learn about him. He's infinite. What an amazing concept that we'll spend eternity and we'll never actually get to the end of our knowledge of God himself. He's just an infinite God. So, where was this leading to? So, this leads to, there's a quote in my Bible. And I write it, it wasn't originally in this Bible, but I do write it in just about every Bible I have. Oh, there it is. I tend to write it, it's just in little words, just to show you that I'm telling the truth here. And it says this, it says, the best thing you can do for God is to know him. And someone wrote that in my Bible when I left New Zealand, left C3 Auckland when I was 17. They gave me this Bible and all the youth, they wrote in there. And it was actually my pastor, Pastor Diane DeVette, who wrote that quote in my Bible. And I reckon that's been the most life-changing quote I have personally had, because it put my relationship in perspective, that I didn't have to do things for God. The number one thing I need to do for God was just to know him. And it gave me perspective. I could do all sorts of things for God. I can think of some really good things. I could give millions of dollars away for God. I could help out. I could build his church. I could feed starving children all around the world. I could do 40-day fasts for God. I could serve in the church and, you know, make things happen here. I could preach. I don't know how good I am. But I could preach to thousands of people and so on. But still, the best thing I can ever personally do for God is just to know him. And when you do know him, when you get that focus, all these other things will happen. They'll fall into place. So I'm not saying these are all bad things to do or that you shouldn't do them. I'm just saying the number one thing to do is just to know God, to focus on that relationship. Matthew 6:33 says, I got it right. Yep. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So what I said, so seek first God. First is God, and then all these other things, these wonderful things will be added to you. Don't get the order wrong. I've said this before, I love King David. He was just an awesome man. He stuffed up in just about every way you can and pretty seriously. If he was alive today, he pretty much would be locked up in prison for life because of the things he did. Yet, God loved him. He says, he's a man after my own heart. Why? Because he got the number one thing right. He always went back to God. When God went to him, he said, you've done something wrong. David instantly went, he just repented. He went, I'm so sorry. And he focused back onto God. He got that right, despite all the other things. So here we go. So this is my challenge for the year, is to add this to you, is this. To add to your list, I think we should have a goal of end the year knowing God better than you do now. If nothing else, we should end 2014 knowing God better in some way. You may have a lot of other goals, but I suggest that's probably the best goal you could probably set for yourself this year. Just have a better relationship with God at the end. And so I'm not saying you have to, you know, do amazing miracles. You have to, you don't have to take it a long way. One step closer to God is enough. And quite often we try to take the big leap, don't we? We set goals, you know, I want to run a marathon. And the first day out, we go and try and run a marathon. It just doesn't work that way. We've got to set small goals. And I reckon you take one step towards God, he's going to take 10 towards you. So, you know, it's not like the gap closes by one step. It closes by quite a lot. When you just take that single step towards goal, he's ready to run towards you. So leading on to that, I was thinking, how can we know him better? How do we actually do it? And I was so thinking, well, how do you get to know someone, a person, better? In terms of a human relationship, how do we get to know people better? And so I had these four keys and that I cleverly and subtly Christianized to make it about God as well. so we'll go through them. So 4 points, I think, about how you can make your relationship with God, how you can know him better. And so let me go through this. The first one is this, talking to someone. You know, you've got to talk to people. So I'm going to call Claire. Have we got a microphone for Claire? Oh, we have. Can we chuck that on? Is it? Claire's my my volunteer. Thank you. Yep. So here we go. Come up here. Yep. So let's say I really want to get to know Claire better. It's okay, David. Not hitting on your wife. So I'm going to talk. We're going to talk, but I don't want you to talk. Okay. All right? So I'm going to try and get to Claire. Let's go for a walk. So Claire, just tell me about your new house. How's it going? Okay. So how are you feeling about it? Is it going to be a big change in your life? Right then. And are your kids excited? Is there... Okay. You can talk now.
Oh, good.
It's like I'm hypnotized.
Talk.
But it's really hard to have a conversation if you're not talking. Let me do the flip side of that too. When I say talk, it's actually a two-way thing. So let's do the flip side. Don't listen to me. You can talk as much as you like.
Okay.
So here we go. So I just want to know, how's life going? How's the marriage?
Life is great. You know, we just moved into our new house, so that's really fantastic. And I love
like
it because it means that we can have our own
have
house.
You set goals for this year?
We have our own house, and it's just, you know, it's great. We don't have to share with our in-laws anymore. So I can do whatever I want.
Sleep.
I don't have to. I can clean when I want. I can live in mess if I want. And it's really good too because there's.
But we can stop. Thanks, that's cool. Thanks, Claire. Oh, good back to Steve, yeah. So you get my point. It's really hard to have a relationship with someone and even get to know them. In that short time, I learned nothing about Claire. Okay? Except that she is awesome at getting up here and doing impromptu stuff. The same with God. If we're not talking to him, nor listening to him, that relationship is never going to get closer. And so... Yeah, so none of our relationships will get far if there's not a two-way communication. And so what I mean is talking to God, but also giving a chance to listen, you know, listening to God. And that means sometimes cutting out a lot of the things in our lives. You know, there's a lot of times we say, why isn't God speaking to us? Well, it's probably a good reason we're not listening. So really talking to God, that's prayer. That's all it really is. It's talking to God. And to our spirit that's inside us, that's just like breathing. It's something we should do continuously. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Pray without ceasing. So it means continually we should be in this communication zone with God. And I don't mean that in a weird way. So, you know, it's not like you drive up to McDonald's, you know, up to the drive-thru. I'd like a Big Mac, large fries, a Coke, and I cast the demon out of the speaker. don't do it in a weird way. You're already weird. But what I mean is continually we're in that relationship where we're listening to God. God will talk through all sorts of things. He talks through other people. He talks through situations. We can listen. But also talking to him all the time, just talking. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't even have to be out loud. Just constantly in that zone of knowing that God's there. So, second point. About how we can build relationships with people and with God is prioritize them. So, prioritize, and Christian word would be worship here. But, you know, it's a hard thing if you don't give someone time, isn't it? You need to prioritize that person. It'd be like having dinner with your wife. I need a volunteer. Janelle, can I borrow you? Speaking on all the women today, aren't I? That's it, we can sit down. That's probably going to end with you hitting me. It'd be like us having dinner, going out to... Yeah, sorry, you're Wendy. It'd be like us having dinner, so having a nice dinner and blah, blah, talking and me doing the rugby matches on, and that's just awesome. And yeah. Oh, look, New Zealand's beating... I was going to say beating South Africa, but I won't. Yeah, it's raining. Cool, thanks. That's good. You just wouldn't do that to your wife. You wouldn't do it to your friends. You know, the point is you've got to prioritize them. At some point, you're going to have to say, I love rugby, obviously, that's why I picked on it. But at some point, I'm going to have to give up that rugby for my wife. My wife comes first over rugby. And so it doesn't matter if there's a really important game on, she comes first. Hopefully, she lets me go to see the game or whatever it is. But if not, if it came down to a decision between the two, it's easy. I pick my wife. Same goes with God. And it's actually, I think it's a lot easier to deprioritize God because it's like he's always there. You kind of think this is an urgent thing. I need to do this now. And I find this with work all the time, that there's always work to be done. There's always an emergency to deal with. But the thing I find is if I prioritize God, if I take that time out, all the work things work out. In the end, it just works out. And so it's important. So worship is really, at its essence, is prioritizing God. It's saying, God, you're number one in my life. And to your spirit, I was talking about, you know, prayer is like breathing. I would say worship is like drinking water. It's like a refreshing that comes upon you. You need to drink water. You know, you run on a hot day like today. It's not like you're going to come back and think, I feel like some really salty chips. You're going to come back and you'll want water. It's the thing that will refresh you. And so when you're running in the heat spiritually, when there's hot times that are coming, it's actually the worship, it's the refreshing that you'll need in your life to build you up. You know, and it's saying to God, and you can worship in all sorts of ways. We kind of tend to think of worship as what we did this morning, which is awesome, just standing in his presence, hands up, just magnifying God. But you can worship God with your money. Tithes is really about that. Saying to God, you're number one in my finances. All these other things, this is money that can do a lot of good things, but I'm putting you as number one, and then everything else can come after that. You know, God is number one in my work, you know. Regardless of what I do, let's put God as number one. God's number one in my finances. He's number one in my marriage. He's number one in my attitudes, which is a tough one. He's number one in my thoughts, which is a really hard one to control sometimes. Your thoughts tend to go bleh, off on tangents. They do for me anyway. squirrel. But your thoughts and controlling your thoughts, you know, the things that you think about will determine your life. So controlling them, putting God at number one. Whereas, you know, meditate on this law day and night was the commandment to Joshua. Saying to God, you're number one in my time. At the end of the day, it's the most valuable thing we have is time. But saying, God, I'm going to set aside time for you. You are the most important thing I can give my time to. So it's all about getting those priorities right. Right. So my third point, I'm laughing because I'm reading ahead. A third point is this, it's learning about someone. So, make sure I got my slides right. So just learning about someone. So if you want to get to know someone, you learn about them. So, you know, if you're a young person, there's a boy or a girl out there, you really want to get to know a bit better, you tend to want to learn about them. You might talk to them, you might spend some time with them, but you need to learn about them. I so want to pick on Jordan. he's not here. And so, you know, you find out information about them. And I don't mean that in a creepy, stalky way. You know, it's not like you come up to their window and looking in and going, right, oh, 5:45 a.m., they got out of bed. Where they? Oh, they're over here. Went to toilet, didn't wash hands. No. But I'm not saying it's creepy stalking, finding information like that. But you go and you find out. So if you're dating someone, you'll find out what flowers they're like. If you're a boy, you know, what flowers does she like? What kind of presents does she want? Like, what kind of... what would you like a boy to give you? what kind of ring does she like? Does she like diamonds? Does she? Yeah. Yeah, big ones. Not much learning in that. I think we all know that. But you find out what sort of things are like. What's your favourite food? If you're going to take someone out to dinner, you kind of want to take them out somewhere to something they like, or you take them out to an activity they're going to enjoy. You find out information about them, and so you learn about them. We make an effort to understand them better. Yeah, so it's no point me turning to Wendy and going, so you didn't want tickets to the monster truck racing? Because she's going to slap me. To which I'll go, can I take them then? No. So to put that in the biblical concept, what that is reading your Bible. It's reading this. Learning about God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning... I got it? Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Word of God. We call it the Word of God. And it's a lot of words in here, actual written words. And, you know, we could use this Bible for all sorts of things. We could use it as a paperweight. We could throw it at someone. I actually heard, I don't know if there's any smokers here, that the Bible paper is really good for roll your own. So, yeah. I don't know if the ink's good for you, but you know, I heard the paper's really good. Never tried it. I suggest you don't do that. The best thing you can do with a Bible, though, is to read it and get it inside you. And for those of you who didn't know, I've got a carrot up here. Sorry, I knew I could fit a carrot into my preaching. It's like eating food, the Bible. It's getting something. So this carrot is a carrot. It's kind of boring. Again, you could use it for a lot of things. It could be a nose for a snowman. It could, not that we got snow here in Perth. Again, it could be a weapon. That didn't break then. Stab someone with it. A lot of uses for it, but its primary use is as food. And it's pretty useless sitting there until I actually eat it, digest it, get it inside me. Then it can do its job. Just think about how we eat things too. We don't just inside us. We actually bite it, we chew it over. There's flavors that come. Some flavors we like, some flavors we don't like. But they all mix together and we swallow them down. Reading your Bible is like that. We need to read it, not just read the words that are in there, but actually digest them as well. Spend time doing this. I think if anyone follows Phil Pringle's blog, he generally just chucks up, takes a copy of about 3 or 4 verses, and he just writes over his Bible. He's constantly writing over his Bible and highlighting things. And as he said, he's digesting it. He could spend half an hour on a single verse and thinking about what that means and how it applies to his life. And it sits and he chews on it. It's like chewing food, and you chew it and you take it inside. And as I said, some flavors you don't like. Sometimes I read the Bible and there's verses and I think, ooh, that hurts. I'm going to have to change something. If I really believe this, I'm going to have to change something. But you still digest it. You take it in because it's good for you. And so we digest it. That's right. It sits with us for a while as we meditate on it. Sometimes a single verse will sit with us for months. I've had that sometimes where a single verse, I've read it and there's been some revelation about God in there. And that has just taken me for months. There'll be other things I read on the way, but there'll be one verse that just drives everything I'm thinking about. It sustains us. It gives us energy. Spiritually, you know, we're in a war constantly, and that can take its toll. There's days when you're going to feel down, and there's, you know, but having that word inside you will sustain you, just like food does. If you don't eat, you're going to get tired. It's the reality of it. If you don't read your Bible, you're spiritually going to get tired. It's going to wear away at you. So you need to get this inside you constantly. Jumped ahead. Read your Bible. My third point. Fourth point is not there. Fourth point, want to get to know someone. I was thinking about my relationship with Wendy. Wendy's my wife, for those who don't know, who's out in the children's church now. We actually knew each other for about 13 years before we even, boyfriend, girlfriend, we're just friends. We knew each other through other friends, which is kind of cool. We knew a lot about each other. And I was thinking, it's because we were, my fourth point, was getting, I got into her world. We're in each other's world. So if you want to know someone, you actually get into their world. Again, I don't mean in a creepy way. But you visit their family, you start seeing the things they're interested in and just doing things together. You get involved in the things they're doing, they get involved in the things you're doing. And you get involved in their world, in their environment, their house, their home. I know Wendy better because I'm in her world, even with her family, as crazy as they are. crazy Irish Catholic family that Wendy comes from. That's awesome. I actually quite like my in-laws. This is recorded, isn't it? Wendy will take that. I quite like my in-laws better than Wendy's in-laws. That makes sense. So getting into someone's world and just getting involved in what they do will help you have a better relationship with them. You'll start sharing common, activities and so on. And so to put that in a biblical concept, take the analogy, is church. It's really about getting into God's world. It's about spending time with God's people, spending time in an environment where God is. Now, I was thinking about this, church is full of all sorts of people, and there's all different churches out there, as I'm talking about local churches, but as a whole, there's the church, God's church. Locally, though, it's about finding a church that fits you, people you can connect with. And, I'd love this little picture because it's just so true, isn't it? Yeah. For those who have been around church for a while, I've been around pretty much my whole life, that's just so true. but it's necessary as well. I know that some of the people in church are just out there. Find a local church that works for you, though. Find one where you connect with people. Make an effort to connect with other people as well. The church is God's house on this earth, is it? In the New Testament, it talks about it. It's God's house on this earth. This is where it happens. This is where you can regularly encounter, where you can meet with other people and be part of his family. So I'm not saying God doesn't work outside of the church. He does. But this is his family. It's like going back to someone's home. You learn something about someone when you go to their house. You go over to their house, have a meal with them. You will learn something about them. It's way different to going out somewhere with them, being in someone's house. And this is where we get a glimpse of heaven, in here where we get a glimpse, we can touch heaven and you just get that sense of what it's like up there. It's got here, everything reproduces after its own kind. You plant a carrot seed in the ground and hopefully you get carrots out. although we planted some sunflower seeds with my daughters and we got weeds. It was bizarre. Yeah, a couple of little sunflowers. We planted a whole pack. I think we got three sunflowers and a whole stack of weeds. What gives? We've got carrot seeds next. We're going to try that. So everything reproduces after its own kind. So why I'm saying that is hang around strong Christians. If you think you can have a relationship with God and not go to church, man, I'll tell you what, it's going to fail at some point. I'm saying that from experience. I did try it. So I was involved in a church here in Perth this time, 15, 20 years ago. The church, for a number of reasons, folded. And so it wasn't that I didn't believe in God. It's just I couldn't find a church that I connected to and didn't really make the effort. Do you know what? After a couple of years of not going to church, my belief in God was the same, but my absolute way of living life had just plummeted. It was just as simple as that. And nothing else had really changed. But I just need to be around other Christians who would guide me, who would just slap me around the head if I was doing something wrong. You just need that in your life. And so hang around strong Christians and you'll turn out like them. So pick someone you want to turn out like. if you hang around dropkicks, you'll turn out like them. Simple as that. Even Jesus, so you think Jesus walking on earth, this is God. He comes down to earth and he's got it together. He doesn't turn left or right, he doesn't sin. And you'd think he'd be the one person that doesn't need to go to church. But, Luke 4:16. It says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, talking about Jesus, as his custom was. So in other words, this was something he did regularly. So Jesus, while he walked the earth, went into the synagogue. And don't know. I just think it's just a good thing to do. So there you go. I'm missing some notes here. I don't know where I am. So the church, I was thinking about, so we think about prayer as breathing and worship as drinking water and just that refreshment, and the Bible as eating. The church to me is like shelter. It provides shelter. You know, you think of survival, in terms of survival, you need those, they're the four basics basically. And survival, a church provides shelter from heat, from harsh environments. It's a place where you can get that protection. So to come back to the challenge, so I'm saying the best thing you can do for God is to know him. The challenge being is that you can end this year knowing God better than you do now. If you set that, and as I said, it doesn't have to be that you know everything about God and everything about the fivefold ministries and you're out there performing wonderful miracles and whatever. Just have that closer relationship with God. Year by year, if we just set that as a goal, that will take you everywhere. Not all the other things that we think are important, but just keeping that one focus, just a better relationship with God. Like any resolution too, we need to keep at it. It's not about going hard at the start. So as I said, you know, you want to run a marathon by end of this year. It doesn't mean tomorrow you go out and run a marathon if you're not used to it. You'd start small. You start just going for a run, building up from there. Same goes with relationship with God. It's not about doing everything now. It's about building on what you have now. Just take small steps. We'll get there. It's about being consistent and forming good habits. Apparently it takes 6 weeks, is it, to form a good habit? And one day to break them. Yeah. So to reiterate my 4 points, I'm coming to a close, is this. So number one, pray. Regularly talk with God. So just keep that prayer life going. And as it says, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. So in other words, just constantly throughout the day. It's just keeping in communication with God, listening out to what he's saying, hearing him, seeing him in situations as well. Number two, worship. Just regularly prioritize him. And as I said, you can. It's not only about singing out to God. It's about giving that number one position to God as well. You can worship God with all sorts of things, but making him number one. Third one is Bible. So regularly reading about him, getting this inside you. You know, when Jesus faced those temptations, so Jesus did the 40-day fast. So he's feeling physically weak, and then the devil came to tempt him. And I like what Jesus did. So the devil come and, he said, if you're hungry, change these stones into bread, into food. And Jesus replied, every time the devil said something, was, it is written. In other words, he used the Bible to counter what the devil had done. You think Jesus would have the power just to tell him to go, cast him away, but he actually gave us an example, something that everyone can do, saying, it is written, God's word says. It's important to have this inside you because there's going to be situations where you'll need it to counter it. And the fourth point is church, is being in his house, just making a commitment. I remember a message years ago by Luke Fincaldi, who used to be the youth pastor here. He did this message on just attending church, and he gave a challenge then, and it stuck with me. And he said this, make a decision now to be in church next week. So basically, make a decision now that next Sunday, where am I going to be? I'm going to be in church. Where am I going to be in 2 weeks? I'm going to be in church. Where am I going to be in a year's time from now? I'm going to be in church. I mean, given we have holidays and we go away and things, but on a regular basis, where am I going to be in 10 years from now? I'm going to be locked into a church. May not exactly be this one, but I'm going to be locked into a church somewhere. And that has just stuck with me, that I make that decision. Actually, you can come up, Janelle, if you want. So make that decision, church. It's a place where we can meet with God, and it just provides that shelter, and it provides people around you that can guide you and help you out. So they're my 4 points, and I'll leave you with that challenge. Just make a decision. End of this year, know God better. In some way, in fact, even reflect on last year. Did you end the year knowing God better than you did at the start? It's quite an easy question to ask and answer, actually. You'll know if that was the case. And make the decision this year. End of this year, I'm going to look back and go, you know what? I'm that one step closer to God. Hey, let's stand up. I'm going to pray. Let's close our eyes. I just want to pray for you. I just want to... I'm going to pray for us, yeah. But as I do, if this applies to you, if you want to make that commitment to God, if it's something you need to do, This won't apply to everyone, but if it's something that you're thinking, I want to commit to knowing you better this year, beyond the commitments I've made in the past, but just this year, specifically now, this word has spoken to you. I just want you to raise your hands, and I'm not looking, no one else is looking. It's between you and God. And just let me pray. Father, thank you, you're an amazing God, that your word says that as we draw close to you, you draw closer to us, Father. And that at the end of the day, there's amazing things. You've made an amazing earth and an amazing environment, an amazing place for us to live. And, you know, living in kingdoms, an amazing, amazing life to have. But, Father, I just pray today that as we hear your word, and, Father, just as it soaks in, that, Father, that we commit today, we commit individually and as a church, Father, we also commit ourselves to knowing you better. That as a congregation, that we know that in a year's time, that we're going to look back on today and we're going to say, actually, we're closer. As a church, we are closer to you. We're closer to your kingdom. Father, I pray that individually on our lives, that as we make that commitment, Father, that as we take that step to you, and you know sometimes those steps are hard to do, they're hard for us to do sometimes. But Father, as we make that commitment and that decision to step close to you, that you will draw closer to us, Father. Help us, guide us, I pray. Holy Spirit, I pray today that you would speak to us specifically if we need it, about things we need to change in our lives, Father, that will make our relationship with you better. And Father, I also ask that you help us to take out the things that get in the way of that close relationship, Father. Take them out, just get rid of them, Father. At the end of the day, we know it's the relationship with you that's going to sustain us. And so, Father, I pray over anyone today that has their hands raised, everyone who's making that commitment, Father, today, to draw close to you, to commit to you, that, Father, you'd be with them. You'd give them the strength, Father God. You would guide them more so than usual, but, Father, you would, a strong hand, guide them, sustain them, Father God. Holy God. Amen.